Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello and welcome to our Season 5, Episode 10.
Gaim out!
Right? Because it's like, time out, because there's no Gaim because Gaim's on. So we're like, stop it.
You don't have to explain it.
Well, but there's awkward silence, so I was like, there might be people that don't get it.
I suppose that could also vaguely be a soccer reference.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
I had another possible title, which I'll not disclose at this time because I'm totally going to use it again for later.
Oh,
You don't waste stuff like that because sometimes I have bad weeks.
Like this sometimes one. You have bad weeks?
Well, it's like weeks where I can't even think of something that's dumb. It's like I'm like just struggling for puns, like just like sifting through my brain in the episode looking for a pun. Like I struggled for a really good soccer pun this week. Like I tried to use Kaido's name, Barrett. I just couldn't do it.
I think that's called every episode we've ever had.
On the bright side, Dawson, George really likes your titles.
See, that's all I care about. I do this job solely for George.
If we can pander to that one fan, we'll be good.
It's kind of the story of our lives.
Sorry, everyone else that's listening that is apparently never interacts with us. And then a legion of mutes that don't have mouths and they hunt down supernaturals. See, only George will get that. See, this is like dedicated podcasting to like certain people.
We actually had quite a few reaction tweets this week from a couple of different people. So
yeah, we do get a lot. It's just kind of. It is kind of. But
I really like the reaction tweets. Like they're really fun to watch.
Yeah
they are.
I love how Kiefer like started the reviews and then he stopped and then we mentioned it and like indentured him to do this for the rest of his life because we liked it. We're like, hey Kiefer, can you keep doing that forever? But it's well, it's nice to get. You know, reaction tweets or those little reviews because at least you know you're doing something that's entertaining somebody or making someone laugh in a potentially dangerous situation. My favorites are always hearing about people laughing in inappropriate places or doing something like important when they start laughing.
George almost died, apparently.
That's happened to me before when I used to like listen back to them or when I was listening to old ones when we thought we were going to do the time travel one last year. I was listening to it while working on something in class and I just started laughing, but I didn't even realize I was doing it. Good times. This segment's called laughter.
It sounds so awful to say, but there is something kind of fun, you know, in the idea that someone almost died by listening to our podcast.
That could be our slogan for season 6. Someone almost died listening to this show.
Arr, we kill people.
Please do not operate heavy machinery while listening to this show.
Or be in public.
You
it's
will
weird that
get
Brian
strangled.
And I just sighed in unison, and I feel really weird about that.
Okay, one-ups, I guess. I got the Ghost Sager and Gokai Rushes. Those are trains.
What?
Yeah,
I thought they were
way.
Russians.
No.
Build a Russian.
Build your Russian. there was a thought pattern here. I've been casually picking up the one-step Transformers just because Cyberverse isn't a thing anymore and it upsets me. So they kind of filled that void. So I've just been casually buying those. I picked up Hound and Lockdown.
Homos!
Yo.
Where are we?
One-ups.
Okay. Brian, who did I beat?
What? Yoshi.
Oh!
The writers.
Oh, I got
the beat
it.
Writers. At least it wasn't the beat writers.
I saw Yosh. I'm like, I think so Kevin beat him.
Oh, yeah. Yoshi.
Well, that's a while ago.
Well, that's the first thing that popped up on my chat.
But other than, like, casually buying things and looking for the fucking Turbo Falcon and fucking keys, that's it, really.
My favorite purchase this week was those Alien Rangers, Brian.
Yeah. Dude, if you had the other one, I'd probably be mad at you, but I'm not, because you only have one.
Because that would be Tommy's, then that would be too much. Brian must own the Tommy's.
Brian,
now, if you want to talk about my relationship with Dawson right now, then that's just anger.
What?
I didn't do anything. I didn't even know that fucker had a Turbo Falcon.
Dawson just finds things and doesn't tell anyone.
I was completely surprised that I found it at Target. Like, I usually don't find things that close to when they're found in California.
Whoever,
but it's the only time I've seen it.
Whoever lives in my area that keeps buying the fucking keys and shit, go to hell.
I will find you. Like,
two Targets today had the new keys and didn't have Alien or Mighty Morphin B. Two different Targets, and that's just frustrating. So whoever it is that's around here, go to hell.
Brian will find you, and he will sex you up.
I have a certain set of skills.
The Q-Rexes here, like, they didn't appear as quickly as the Turbo Falcon did for me, but when they did, they were, like, everywhere. Like, I see one everywhere, even now.
Yeah, I can find the Q-Rex pretty easy now.
And so, but the Turbo Falcon was a complete surprise, so I did not.
I think I've only seen one Q-Rex.
Everything else I just ordered online. I haven't even seen the new Ranger keys here yet. But, yeah, and apparently, like, I work for Bandai or have some sort of magical powers because I have these. Like,
but
I don't know.
You do have magical powers.
How people can follow, knowing about these toys and follow any one of our reviews, but then somehow don't follow anyone else around us that's also getting these? Because, like, there's a bunch of people, granted a lot of them aren't reviewers, that have the keys or the Megazord or the whatever the other things were. Oh, yeah, the Morpher or whatever. And it's like, they're like, how are you getting all, it must be Bandai. Yeah, totally, Bandai's paying me off. That's exactly what's happening. I hate that people say that just because your opinion is that everything Bandai of America does sucks and you just start writing Bandai Japan's dick. I hate that. The Gokai Cellular was the most amazing device of all time. It was like a portable microwave. That's what it was.
Well, in all fairness, Bandai of Japan does have a pretty nice dick.
But anyway, I guess my turn now, since I started talking about stuff. Other than dealing with those insane people, I haven't been up to much purchase-wise. My Apple Changer and my Udon Breaker arrived yesterday. And my Zangetsu and the Lockseed should arrive in a few days. Don't think I bought anything else. I feel like I'm forgetting. Did I buy? I don't know. But my main focus has been watching a lot of Power Rangers. I'm almost done with Zio. I have like 10 episodes left. And I am halfway through season 3 of Supernatural. So, like,
goddamn.
My whole summer has essentially been Netflix, which I'm completely fine with. But so
Dawson, how are you liking it now that it's starting to get more of a story instead
I really
of being
like
episodic?
It. I actually, like, I won't say I was annoyed at first when it was episodic, but I was just kind of curious if it was going to stay that way, but I kind of grew to enjoy some of the episodic things, because they had fun stories.
Yeah, like, a lot of the episodic thing was, it was to set up, like, just the different monsters and kind of how they hunt things and and ways to kill stuff.
And season 3 so far has actually been, like, a really good blend of it. Like, there'll be cases that you think are standalone, and then all of a sudden they either tie back to the story or they tie back to something with their characters.
And you've gotten to see Laurel.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, she can totally be the canary now. I can see how she can handle herself.
Exactly.
And Maggie from Walking Dead was in it, a.k.a. What's her face from Chuck? Vivian Volkoff.
Oh, and yeah.
Tara and Harmony from Buffy and Angel, and Jen the Pink Ranger was in it. She was a witch.
There's a lot of people that show up.
She did magic to get lower mortgage rates.
DJ Qualls shows up in a later season. It's really funny.
And one of the last episodes I just watched was like the Groundhog Day episode, which I thought was going to be a fun episode. Like, they had one in Buffy called Life Serial that was kind of funny, where she kept repeating the same challenge like to sell a mummy hand, and it was more funny. And I'm like, oh, this is gonna be funny. And they're super depressing because Dean dies at the end of every day, and then he goes 6 months, and it's like super heavy. I'm like, I felt like Marty McFly. I was like, this is heavy, man.
Wait, no matter what he does, he just dies.
Like, there was some funny moments in it for sure, but like, it was kind of morbidly funny when Dean kept dying, and he's like, this taco tastes funny, and then he's waking up and the day restarted.
Like, he tries to change something, and, like, something else kills him. He's like, son of a bitch!
But that was a really good episode, but really, like, depressing.
Yeah. Like, we're three episodes from the end of season seven. It's so good.
It's funny, because things keep happening to them. Like, they'll get shot or die, and it's like, I know they're going to be fine. Like, Sam got stabbed in the back. I'm like, there's seven seasons left. I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, like, that's why they have a lot of, like, side characters on the show, because since the show is about them too, they can't really, like, put them in too big a danger, because you know they're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
So they bring in a bunch of people who are like, oh, they're friends with, like, this other hunter, or these people who help them. They're the ones who die and get hurt.
Yeah. So, I'm having a hard time, like, thinking too much peril. Although I admit that I was really shocked when Sam got stabbed. Like, yeah. I didn't expect it.
Get used to Bobby. He's in there a lot.
Yeah, he has been. He also sold Walter his weapons in Breaking Bad.
So oh, really? Like, well, he, like, I read, like, on Wikipedia, like, originally he was only supposed to be, like, on, like, a couple of episodes. And then he ended up, like, was popular. So he was on there, like, fairly steadily through, like, season seven.
I like
that. And then, well, the same thing with Castiel, when he went to the Angels, like, Misha Collins was only supposed to be in, like, three episodes, but, like, he turned out to be, like, really well, and he became, like, a popular character, and now he's, like, a regular on the show.
It happens with a lot of shows.
Yeah. Like, oh, we didn't expect you to be really good.
Spike was only supposed to be in a couple episodes of Buffy. So. Alright. I'm done now. Now that I've talked about Supernatural.
Well, George is happy, so.
Spoiler alert to anyone that hasn't seen it, Sam got stabbed at some point. So.
Spoiler alert, that happens a lot.
He's got shot like 25 times in the time I've watched the show.
Yeah. Let's see.
He's killed over 100, technically.
Yeah. It's pretty nice once they start really dying, and you get to see, like, hell and heaven. And anyway, before I get, like, just a giant boner and my computer falls over off my lap. So I was about to say, oh yeah, I bought some Ranger keys because the store had them. I got, what did I get? I went to Toys R Us and I got, three sets of keys there, Space, Turbo, and Mystic Force. And then I found the, Fall of Cybertron Autobot cassettes that I've been searching for since I bought Blaster. I got both packs of those, walked around the store like a boss, just holding them up like, yeah. Try to fucking found these. And I bought the Armored Might Super Mega Red Ranger. Even though he has no actual armor to be Armored Might, he just has weapons.
He's got a tiny head.
Well, that's the steroids.
The Mirakuru.
Exactly. And then right after that, we drove, like, down the way to Target, and I got Jungle Fury, Super Mega Force B, like the one with the girls, because Kaylee was like, Emma, Gia. I was like, well, I gotta buy this. And what the fuck? Oh, Alien Rangers, and what's the fourth set? God damn, I really wish I could remember what I bought without having to think. Wish I was Brian and had a blog I could just go to and be like, oh, look what I bought.
It's not like it costs money, just get one.
I know, but I just like sharing your space.
How do you get a blog? How do you find toys?
But
how do you watch Kamen Rider Prime? Yeah,
it just occurred to me that I have a picture on my phone because I posted it on Twitter. I got, oh, SPD. Right.
Emergency.
And so that was fun. I also bought an Elsa dress, not for me, for Kaylee. But
yeah, sure.
Well, it's not my size, or I'd wear it, but it's from when we go to Disney on Ice next year.
I see you say that you wanted to catch up on Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah. We were watching something. I swear to God, I don't know what we were doing. But she was like, you know what? We finished Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what it was. We finished Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We finally finished season one of that fucking show.
How good was it, right?
I know. And they had a commercial in there, you know, during the thing we're fast-forwarding through for Once Upon a Time. And she said something about how, like, you know, they're doing Frozen on there. They have Anna and Elsa. And she's like, we really should watch that show. She's like, if I want to, we just never have. I was like, yeah, I know. So we're probably going to start that at some point soon. We'll probably catch up with Supernatural first just because, like, by the time this airs, but by the time y'all can download and listen to this wonderful episode we're recording, we'll be done season 7. So we'll just have 8 and 9 to do, and then we'll probably start Once Upon a Time and continue The Walking Dead and stuff.
Brian's still on episode 1 of The Walking Dead.
We're on episode 2, so we're at least ahead of Brian. But we're like halfway.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. Well, there you go. Kevin, you just lost the title within seconds.
Damn! We're halfway through episode 2, but now we have to catch up. I have to wake her up right now.
Like, watch half the episode. All right, we're on 3, so we're at least a little bit there.
Yeah. We're halfway to Brian. Yeah, so we're gonna get that watch soon. It's just difficult when the 3-year-old like walks in the room every 30 seconds. Like, it's almost impossible to like pay attention to what's happening in a program and watch something. Like, she's just her bed was talking to her. She told us she's been sleeping on the couch because her bed told her to go in her mom's room and it told her to go lay on the couch. So she's been sleeping on the sofa.
Sleeping.
Like that's what I live with. But I don't
know. It's a weird bed. It talks. Hawkeye lives under it.
I know, right? It's like, something's going on in that room, man. I'm kind of scared. I also got my Apple changer, my Udo breaker. The Apple changer does almost nothing, and yet I love it. I should soon have my Lockseed Set 8 candy toy with all those rider forms and my Gosei and Gokai Resha, because they're out of New York Customs, so they should be here in the next couple of days. I need to pay for AC Kiwami still because I'm trying to avoid AmiAmi. I need to figure out what I'm going to do because I don't have any money. I mean, I have money. I'm just trying not to use the money I just got paid by people who don't understand how shipping works. But, yeah, and I do plan on – I actually am about to start playing Pokemon again because – Ash has passed me up in America, and I'm embarrassed. Like, if Japanese Ash passes me up, I'm like, well, he had a head start. When American Ash passes you up, you just fall on your sword.
You're doing it wrong.
you just fall on your sword. Like in Serenity. Oh, well. It'll be all right. Dawson will still be gay, and people will still ask him that on Ask FM.
I'm not gay, just my voice is. My voice didn't tell the rest of me.
They can read all the reasons why I wanted to kill Aerosol and why I hate Dawson. And the truth about Shuquin Shinobi.
All of your answers, like, I know they're all jokes, but they get so specific that anyone who doesn't realize that they're jokes would think, man, this guy really hates his co-host.
I know. That's why I did it.
I really like the one that was about me, because you went into so much detail.
Narcissist! I particularly like when I compare you to JDF.
Yeah.
I thought of it while typing it. Like, I'd planned out a lot of that. And then as I'm writing it, for some reason, JDF popped into my head. I guess because of how I was describing you, and I'm like, that's a great comparison. Shugi is just like JDF.
I like the idea of Brian actually being an anti-JDF, where instead of like fitness year, it's just like eat whatever you want year. It'd be like cheese stick year. It'll be like cheese stick year 2014. And like instead of like showing you like with your broken foot and at the gym, it's just you with cheese sticks.
I like how I turned Dawson into a Jackie Chan Adventures reference. Like, just became that Dawson and I are just, we're both the same person.
Like, every time you get a question like that, you're like, we need to reunite the amulet. Like, every single time.
Because after a while, it was the first thing that came to my mind was, we're the same person. I know, Dawson's evil and I'm the good one. And we got split in half.
I love that the first thing that comes to your mind is Jackie Chan Adventures.
I love that show.
Of course, it fits so perfectly.
I would have gone for a Buffy reference. Isn't it? The same person, except he's got that shiny thing that mesmerizes people. It's just Clancy a smush quarter.
It's got Adam Baldwin, and it's got people who are also in Avatar. Plus, Uncle is like one of the greatest characters ever. It's got a guy called El Toro Fuerte. He's a legit luchador, okay? That's just all I have to say about him. I love that show. A lot. I want DVDs, like, right now. I'm depressed. Thanks, Aerosol.
Why is it my fault?
Because you're in my chair.
Oh. I thought we got new chairs for the new season.
No, Michael still hasn't picked one out yet.
Oh.
You guys got new chairs, nobody told me.
When Aerosol gets Kevin's chair, then he'll have two chairs. Only one more to go.
I didn't get one. I'm very mad. It's Aerosol's turn to pass.
I'm eating pizza. That's a thing.
Did you go on an adventure to get the pizza?
No, I had it delivered, so.
Damn. I bet the delivery
guy. Not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
I'm eating goldfish.
So,
product placement.
Pizza Hut is apparently making specialty pizzas for all of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's why.
Did you guys hear that?
I thought that Kiefer just like, hey, the turtles like pizza, so this is Raft now. I didn't know it was like legit.
The only thing I've seen is that they have the one with the cheese filled little bites on the crust.
Yeah, that must be Raft.
Well, they also have. I think Mikey's has like the most random assortment. You get like a bunch of different toppings, kind of all randomly
they
thrown
make
on.
Mikey's from the show that was like disgusting.
They're also doing what's called a what do they call it? A katana cut, where they essentially just cut the pizza into four slices instead of how they normally slice it.
I thought it was gonna have snake meat on it.
I hate you.
Yeah, I love the little cheesy bite things. So that's the one thing I will thank the TMNT movie for. They brought back my favorite pizza from Pizza Hut. So
how do you order that? Do you just call and say yes, I'll have Raft's pizza? Where is it?
I just order online.
Oh. Well, then there goes the story.
Yeah.
Did you see the Epic Rap Battle of History season 3 finale is the Renaissance artist versus the TMNT?
Yeah.
And that shit was hilarious.
It kind of ended too abruptly for me.
A lot of them do.
Like, I was expecting just more out of it, and I don't know. For what it was fine. I thought it was funny.
Has anyone here seen the new Weird Al videos?
Yes, I have. His second new video is essentially an ode to Chenix.
Because
it's all about
that bad
grammar.
I loved it so much. Like, I need to see the one that came out like today. I didn't get to watch that one yet.
Oh yeah, I saw that one too.
I saw the first two, and I love it. The grammar thing just—I was dying.
So those are my one-ups: pizza and Weird Al. I guess
makes sense.
News.
For whatever reason.
Aerosol said this so kind of like news. Like he's like doing the power of suggestion. News. news. Her daughter is an idiot. Her daughter is.
So we've got a big train.
I love big trains.
And that's our news for the week.
See you next week with sports. Kids' Choice Sports. No. I think it's kind of ugly looking. It'll probably grow on me maybe when we see clearer pictures or it's in the show, but right now it just looks like a giant gold fatty standing up.
It's it's a little disappointing. I mean, with how somewhat crazy the other ones have been, you would expect just, you know, another train kind of piled onto, you know, Chocho Tokyo or whatever it's called. But no, this one's just, okay, plug all of your trains into this and then stand it up.
Yeah, I don't like the
terminal. A terminal?
I mean, the final mode, I hate that. Like, we were so close to having another mech where you can just put all of them together. Like, I love that. It's so easy for storage, and it's, like, oddly impressive. But this one leaves extra pieces, and it's like, stop! I hate that.
But at least this time you combine all the extra pieces into one giant thing.
Yeah, but it's nothing that happens, though. It's not in the show. There's still
I got it. I mean, it just looks like a giant, like, gorilla-looking thing.
But
a gorilla train, if you do it the way
like,
I have it.
We were so close, because all of them up to this point, you know, with the exception of, like, the movie mech or whatever, combined. And I was like, oh, there's no way they're not going for it. Because I missed stuff like G-12 or Samurai Howl, where I could just put everything in one and set it down. Because now I have to find all these different places for it, and it's so awkward. I'm probably going to wait on this one, like I did with all the other ones I've been waiting on. This one in particular, since I'm not hot on Tokyuger, but I wish it just all combined together. We were so close. Maybe next year. Click, click, click. Are we doing Morse code? Yes. In my abundant free time, I took a course in Morse code to talk about you.
Clearly. No, I decided to use the directional pad instead of the control stick for whatever reason. I'm not doing other things, no. anyway, I agree, it is kind of weird looking, and the combination as a whole does kind of upset me because they could have did so much with the combination of all the trains. But I like the train mode quite a bit. I think it looks pretty neat in train mode, and I like the idea of a kind of a terminal sort of thing.
I like that it's like a carrier.
Yeah, I like that concept. I think it could be really fun, but the end result with Tokyo Rainbow, I think, is a little bit disappointing, but
I do like that Tokyo Rainbow includes drill and shield.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. Poor, everyone was like, oh, poor Scope. I'm like, well, Scope's not really... Scope and energy aren't really meant to attach to him.
And energy.
But drill and shield are both actual support rushes. They're just not, like, full-scale ones.
Yeah.
More like Hydra Russia. Am I right? No?
I get it.
I get it, too, and it's awful.
Yes, sir, most of his jokes.
I think I'm behind.
Wait, like, you don't get the joke, or, like, your time, like, you're skipping?
No, I don't get the joke, is what I mean.
Oh.
Sorry, that was really misleading.
Oh, like, because there's been a couple of times where, like, last week our timing was off slightly, so I thought that you meant.
Yeah, I thought he meant timing-wise. Not gonna lie.
You'll get it soon enough.
Are we just anyway. Gonna wait for me to get it?
Oh. Yes.
Just, well, Dawson, are you gonna explain it or do I have to?
I don't want to spoil it for him if he doesn't want to be spoiled.
Oh no, I meant there was such a long silence. I was just expecting to move on.
Oh, okay, let's move on.
Oh, okay. Well, fag.
Something about characters.
What?
I'm so confused now.
It's such an overreaction.
Is there any more news?
The Power Rangers movie stuff.
Oh, I meant actual news that we care about.
I care about it.
All right.
I'm excited.
Then talk.
Okay, I don't remember anyone's name, so I should not be leading this. But there is some very good people behind this. Some of the writers behind X-Men: The First Class and they wrote other things too. Like, I didn't bother to read any of the articles. I just read the headlines and the tweets that came out of the reactions. But there's like some legitimately good people that are going to be behind this movie, and I think that's good news. Apparently I'm the only one that cares.
I think they could still fuck it up, so we'll see what happens.
They can't fuck it up. NPR was already fucked up when it was born.
I don't know, the lineup just didn't really impress me that much.
Well, the thing is, it has nothing to do with fucking up MMPR. It has to do with just fucking up a movie in general. I don't care if they fuck up MMPR. That's, like I said, that's already fucked up. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, look, the movie's going to ruin my childhood because I'm fucking stupid. I just mean fucking up the movie in general as making a bad movie. Michael Bay's not going to ruin Ninja Turtles, but he can make a bad fucking movie.
I hate it when movie writers have access to time travel. So they can go back and ruin.
Oh, childhoods. Ruin your childhoods!
God damn it!
That joke's way too long to develop.
Funniest motherfucker on the show.
Well, for a second, I thought you were talking about like when writers have access to time travel elements when they're writing. Like, I hate Back to the Future. No, they have way too much freedom.
I just have really unspecific jokes.
But I agree. I've been seeing a lot of that lately with
unspecific jokes.
In particular, because everyone's just like, oh my god, this movie's going to ruin my childhood. MMPR is the best. This is why you don't ever read comment sections in, like, news sites. Because they're not actually part of the fandom. And even if they are part of the fandom, they still might say that anyway, and that just makes them awful. So either way, you're kind of fucked.
Like, whenever I read the comments on any IGN Power Rangers article, whether it's about the movie or they actually reviewed all the legacy sets, it's always, like, 90% people that are, like, people still like Power Rangers, and then the other 10 are, like, our fandom, but they're, like, the worst of our fandom, and they'll be, like, actually, it's adapted from this adult show, Super Sentai. And, like, they'll put in Gokaiger clips, and then whenever someone says Power Rangers or Sentai's for adults now, I'm just going to picture what Toku Joe tweeted today with that picture from Tokuger. Like, Sentai's a serious show for adults. But it's, like, the worst over there. But, I don't know, I'm still looking forward to it. I think it's got a lot of potential. I mean, it's good that they at least got some names that are recognizable, at least to some people, and that have done some good things, and they're not just someone completely random or something. I think it's good news. Now they just need to cast the entirety of Teen Wolf, and me and George will be happy, and the rest of y'all can suck it. Seriously, it would be amazing. Kira has to be a ranger. Like, that has to happen.
I'm not sucking anything unless there's money involved, because I need to get to California. And also, I'm buy toys.
Anyway, I'm excited.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's all we got.
We are so on top of things this week.
We are on point.
I was just really happy someone sent me an adamant Carvana on Wonder Trade.
Wait, an inanimate Carvana?
Adamant.
Oh, adamant. I thought you said an inanimate. I was really confused.
It's a dead Carvana. It just pops up on the screen. It's like, your Carvana is dead. I'm sorry.
Brian just gets this dead Carvana in the pool. Oh, Brian, man. I'm so sushi. Happy to have this.
It's just Pokemon.
It's like when
sushi.
You see those dead fish in the tanks at Walmart.
All of them?
No, it's just some of them. If I walked in and all the fish were dead in the Walmart tanks, I'd be like, holy fuck, the apocalypse is here. No, I want to know why we're having a better discussion about dead fish than we did about the movie. That's what I want to know.
Dead fish are more interesting than an MMPR movie.
Well, it's not even that. It's just I don't really care about behind the scenes things. So,
but Brian
I'm just
does care about
kind of twiddling my thumbs
and masturbating.
I just can't wait till we find out who the camera operators are going to be and the assistant to the assistants, because that's what really matters.
Those are the real stars.
Want to know the catering service.
I want to know who the backstage fluffer is.
I've also decided I don't want...
I want that job.
I've also decided I don't want any past cast members in the movie except for Pilot Trini. She needs her second shot.
I would be JDF's fluffer, but I don't have a good enough pair of tweezers.
Yeah.
I feel like it's time that we maybe move on to a superhero time.
Final thingies? Oh, superhero time, right.
That works too, I guess.
I agree with Aerosol. It was a shitty week for Toku.
Stand it, go home. Now it's time for Superhero time.
Starts now.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Tokuja, Shupa, Shinko,
Shupp,
Kamen Rider Gaim. At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
So well, I. what?
Sadly, well, it wasn't soccer players.
I thought the one of the first scenes in this week's Tokuja was kind of the perfect representation of Tokuja for me, where it's just all of the Tokuja crew dressed up in a bunch of silly outfits, trying their damnedest to get Akira to laugh, and he's just standing there staring at them, completely deadpan, not amused, and I'm like, you know what? That sums up Tokuja for me. Like, it tries. It really, really tries, but it just doesn't land.
I love how I was just like, this is the emergency. This, really? Why are we doing this? I was wondering why we're doing this. I did appreciate that Kagura and Conductor kept going. Like, the others were like, you know what? This isn't working. We're just going to pack it in. They're like, no. We're fucking doing this.
I will be a mantis forever.
I don't know why they became Scyther, but at least nobody pulled out any ketchup.
I completely agree with Aerosol. Like, I'm just sitting here going, wow. Just with this, like, blank... A blank expression on my face was kind of like me throughout most of this episode.
I liked the kitty. Yeah.
The kitty was adorable.
I was really sad at the end.
The stupid little bitch girl took it back, you little fuckface.
I laughed.
You would.
I'm sorry. That was my one laugh for the episode was the little girl taking the cat away from Tokyo Rokugo and him just falling down and
I did love his reaction though. It was pretty awesome.
Like, I love how he just switches gears. Like, it was funny that they got to the first battle and they transform, and I didn't see the crow that was running by Akira because it was directly behind Kagura. I really thought he was just spin kicking the air.
So did I. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing? All of a sudden a crow comes flying out from behind Pink. I'm like, oh shit, where'd you come from? Like... I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this boy? Like, there is nothing I don't love about him, though, I have to say. Like, half this episode was just, like, I was wondering, what the hell am I watching and why? But Rokugo is, like, my favorite thing ever. He just walks in with a recorder. No, like, it's like, well, I lost my harmonica. They're like, you could have just come in without a musical instrument. Like, what? Like, it didn't even cross his mind not to play, like, his entrance theme. I need to play the music.
But yeah, most of the episode was just really bad humor that just
I had to watch didn't two translate. Gentlemen in sumo diapers dancing.
Oh, God. I didn't like most of this, like, at all. Like, the humor was just really stupid humor. Like, it wasn't even good humor. Like, not the ice cream, but, like, intelligent, not, words.
And then the training? What the fuck was the training?
I don't know. I don't get it. Like,
That was the worst training. That was worse than the Gosager Parfait training.
I legitimately don't understand most of this episode.
Because at least the Ghost Sagers ate ice cream. Like, the training didn't make sense. Like, seriously, my two favorite... I generally like this show. I do. But this episode, I was like, I can't find anything redeeming about it. With the exception of Ticket and Akira. because they're my two favorite things in this program. Although depressed Wright, I think I can handle Wright when he's depressed. He was a little more toned down and wasn't freaky.
He was the kind of asshole.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they were flinging around that Red Russia. I'm like, why are we doing this? I don't understand the point.
They've been doing a lot of the random changes again after not doing it for a really long time. And it kind of disappoints me because I was actually giving them props for a while on using the transfers intelligently, and now we're back to just for no real reason whatsoever. But whatever.
Like, I just didn't get, like, I'm like, why are we doing Norikai changes? That there's no real reason for this. Like I get it, like, when we're okay, we're gonna confuse the enemy or whatever they're doing, but this had no purpose. This was just, we're bored, so we're gonna throw around the Red Russia. I was like, whatever, this is stupid.
Sounds about right.
I think it's the first time I've been upset watching an episode of Tokuger.
Now you know how it's like for most of us normally.
It's definitely one of the bigger misses. I mean, there are more episodes that I just didn't really get into, but this one in particular just really fell flat. Like I was saying earlier, it just feels like Tokuger is trying so hard. It just can't.
Tokuger is basically in like a situation where it's like, laugh, damn it. And I refuse, because it wasn't funny. Game time?
Game.
Normally I'd be really excited about this. So this week was our soccer episode.
What the fuck happened in the episode? I didn't understand what was going on.
I did not like it at all. Well, at all is a strong, but I didn't. It's such an awkward time for it. And the way it was presented, I mean, they clearly made it an alternate universe, and if they were going to do it, I think they did do it. But I think they should have just left it at Kaito transporting. I don't think Coda should have been involved at all, at least our Coda, because he is in the middle of something really traumatic, and having him stop to do this dumbass crap was so weird. I mean, I know it's not going to affect anything next week, but it still bothered me that, like, they're like, oh, last time one brother killed another, but here's bugs flying around and soccer. I don't know. I just didn't like it. I don't like the idea behind the movie in general, and seeing a little glimpse at the world just reminded me of it. There was a couple things that might have amused me a little bit, but in general, I just didn't like it. I thought it was kind of funny that Kaito doesn't seem to care what world he's in. He just assimilates to be the strongest. He's like Yugi. He, like, doesn't care. Dual monsters, dungeon dice, capsule monsters, I'm the master. Or not Yugi, I guess it's Yami or Atem, whatever. But there was a couple, like, sort of funny-ish things.
The scene where he tries to
play soccer and it didn't work. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
He just
funny.
Completely misses, and he's just like left standing there, like still prideful. So he just kind of crosses his arms and looks really awkward.
And that they didn't know that you could use the armor suits for anything other than soccer was kind of amusing. But in general, I just didn't like it. I didn't think I would. I actually liked the Tokuger and the Kikaider crossovers more than this crossover with itself. I just don't like the premise behind the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know if I have much more to add onto that. I watched it the first time and I thought, you know, this isn't as bad as it could have been, which is kind of the deal for all three of the movie tie-in episodes. So I'm just sitting there like, you know, this is a little more coherent than I thought it would be. And then I watched it again today to kind of kill time before we recorded. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't pay attention. It was so boring. There's nothing there. It's not interesting.
I watched the whole episode to get a glimpse of Mars.
You can just do that by searching him.
Just get a telescope, bro.
Bro, do you even telescope? bro, do you even budget? I was thinking of when I also said that. But anyway, you know, it's kind of unfortunate because we have those two cool Apple Rider suits that they're being used on this dumb soccer movie. And a guy actually could have had a really cool opportunity to do sort of a movie kind of like they used to with like Fives or Blade, where it was sort of like essentially it was this alternate universe, but it was like it followed the same story as the show up to a point, and then it was almost like a different Splinter in the Road. I think that could have been cool, and they could have used the Apple Riders for something, and it could have been a cool like alternate event or something. Instead of way far alternate where they're playing soccer and it's almost a joke, at least in this one it was.
I don't mind it too much because a lot of it just seemed like, okay, replace dancing with soccer. That's what it felt like to me. Obviously,
I think
there
I just
are
have a huge bias towards the
more
hatred for soccer.
Differences, like the lack of invest and stuff like that, but. I don't know. I'm not too negative towards it, but I mean, it still doesn't look like it's super interesting. But
I just really hate soccer, so I'm really biased. But I don't. It was kind of a joke about it, and I definitely can see that if it was an alternate world where it was soccer instead of dancing. But at this point, it's not very jokey, if you know what I mean. Like. It's kind
it's
of
been
funny
very
little moment.
Serious for the past few weeks.
But it's not much of a joke, and I don't know. I just think I would have much rather had a movie like the kind of the old style they used to do. I think it could have been cool because I was interested in seeing those movies, like particularly Blade's kind of like an alternate post show, and Fize is way different. He got I can't remember in the movie or the show was it mailed to him or did he find some power up? I don't know.
Which was his Fize?
I was trying to think because one time he got it mailed to him. I think he got it mailed to him in the show, and he just
found it. Yeah, mailed to him in the show,
and he found it in the movie. That's funny.
But like, yeah, I mean, you know, or the Hibiki movie, that was a good movie.
Yeah,
but it's just like the last few weeks have just been so, it's so serious, and there's so much going on, and then we're gonna get like Jokey McJokester over here.
It's a super awkward time. Like, Wizard would have been a better series to do this with because we had so many filler two-parters that you could have stuck a crossover anywhere.
Yeah.
But this one, especially the last couple, have come in at some really awkward times. The Tokyo Gaim one had the fortunate thing of being during an actual lull. But this one, and the last one, this one more so, but they were both in sort of awkward moments where something big was going on. So I think it's almost like, you know, all this stuff, this crossover stuff is outside business stuff that has to be dumb, that's true, but it has to be done, while Gaim is sort of existing on his own and they're just writing the show without planning for all this stupid promotional material.
Like, we had the crossover with Tokuger, we had the movie episode for the Wizard team-up. And then now we got this one, and I'm like, really? I don't understand why you have to do a promotion for your own movie. Like
we didn't have an episode for the Wizard team up.
For the it was Kiter.
That's not Kiter. Wizard, bro. Like, Wizard look way different.
Wizard, Kiter, they all look alike after a while. But in any case, we've had our third team up movie. Promo, our third movie promo interrupting the show. This one's not a team up. This is just fucking his own damn movie. Even though they show things in the credits to promote the movie, and have a trailer after the episode, we still have to have a whole episode devoted to setting up the movie. Like it just seems wrong. And once again, we have to break the action just to promote the damn movie. Just because a movie's coming out, break the action so we can promote it.
This one's particularly dumb because Guy, just by existing, is self-promotion for the movie.
Yeah, I mean, they've had promotion in the, you know, opening credits and after the episode is aired in the past. It's not like they've never promoted their movies before. It seems unnecessary. Like, I completely agree with what you guys are saying. I also wanted to mention that all three of the movie tie-in episodes were not actually written by the writer of Gaim. The only reason I bring that up, again, I think I mentioned it a while back, is because so many people really blame the guy who writes Gaim.
You're turning into
Dawson. For these episodes, like, I do see a lot of attacks on the writing, as if that's, like, you know, his choice, but they're all actually written by the same guy, and it's someone who doesn't typically write for the series, so...
It's all corporate.
Wallace. Pretty much. It's it's all Toei just like, we need to advertise this shit.
Depending on how good Drive ends up being, I hope this doesn't end up being a trend.
Yeah. That would really be awful.
Like,
you know, they already have short enough time, you know, like with having a break for golf and a break for a relay race and a break for whatever else. You know, there's one for New Year's, I think. And then now we're going to break three times to promote different movies. Like, seriously?
Yeah. That'll show them.
What?
Yeah, exactly. This guy knows what I'm thinking.
Keep a smile, thank you.
Anyway, I guess we should.
It's really not a good week.
No, it's not. It was not.
Because unfortunately, it's not even an episode that's bad enough to rant about. It's just, it's there, and it's annoying that it's there, but.
It's also annoying for our show because it interrupts our Gaim discussions, which are usually one of, if not the strong point of the show that week, at least discussion-wise. Because those always have really good discussions for us, and now it's like, man, this sucks. But now it's time to move on to... Are we going to do Curiouser now?
Seems like a good place for it.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, so Curiouser, 100 years after, random segment that goes between this and Ramble Time. So, Ryan, are you still here? You dead? Okay.
I hit the wrong mute button. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm just making sure. So, that came out a while ago, and we saw it. I guess since I'm already talking, I'll kick it off, and that I was pretty disappointed by it. I didn't, like, despise it or anything, and there was a lot of things I guess I liked about it, but for the most part it was a disappointment for me. My main reason might not be the same as yours and might think it's stupid, but was actually, one of the things I was looking forward to seeing was these new Troyugers? What the hell is the Troyuger? Curiousers being those different suits. It's not necessarily has to do with seeing the suits standing next to each other, but the way Curiouser worked always sort of fascinated me because we're so used to the team of five or three being assembled. And I love this idea that they're just these random warriors recruited everywhere. And this happened to be like the first one that assembled into a team. And obviously it happened to be a color scheme we're familiar with, but it's still in that world. It was just happened to be those five. And so I like the idea that in the future, the next team that assembled would be different dinosaurs. And it ended up being for a dumb reason why they were. And I thought that ultimately making them the same colors as their ancestors was boring. Because I just liked the idea of them having different suits and not following the same exact path. I did like how they pointed out, like, the monster pointed out how funny it was that they had, like, three bluish colors on the team, and the gray and silver are the same. And I'm still fine with that joke. I thought it was really funny, but I just liked the idea of them being different and sort of separating themselves from the past.
I definitely agree there that it was kind of boring that they just ended up being the same colors in the end. Because them finding their true colors kind of ate up a lot of the movie that could have been spent with, you know, getting to know the characters and maybe seeing them actually grow and become adjusted to how to fight as Curators instead of, you know, just being like, oh, well, you don't have the right color, so that's why you're weak.
And, you know, the way it played out, it reminded me of like an episode or a show or a movie where people lost their memory and then they remembered who they were. So it was almost as if they were just the old creatures and they forgot who they were. That's the vibe I got from it, instead of them just being completely different people. Especially like Oopies or whatever. He sees the gold. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm Uchi. Like, that's what it was like. That's what it reminded me.
I did think it was funny just that, like, oh, these are the only six batteries we could find, so this is you guys. Here you go.
And I get that it's been 100 years, but Candarella not being able to remember their colors was dumb. The old
Candarella in general in this was really dumb.
They mentioned why no one could remember stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. But still dumb. I like the idea of those two being the future mentors, though.
Yeah,
kind of
like,
played a little stupider. But it's not
like
they expected to be serious.
It made sense from the way the show ended with, like, Torin passing on and Candarella and Luggy becoming, like, good and friends with, the you know, those Kyuriyujers. So it made sense that, like, they would be the ones to, like, lead the team as, you know, in the mentor role.
Like, they played it kind of dumb, and I didn't expect them to be, like, super serious. Like, they're all badasses like Torin. But they could have evened it out a little bit because the concept was there. A lot of this movie for me is it had this really cool concept, and Kyuriyujir was never serious all the time, and it was often funny, but they could have had something really cool, and sometimes they're trying to play out the funny too much when they had this really cool opportunity to sort of be in this universe in a cool way.
Well, and like I was really looking forward to the idea of this team led by like Navy with like this, you know,
maybe
non-evil
from Development?
Navy. Hush. Non-evil version of the Death Ryuger suit. And where, like, you know, their mecha will be based around Toba Spino instead of, like, the red Gabutira. Because, I mean, the toy is the same thing.
Yeah, because the way their team was assembled, their mech combinations wouldn't have been awkward. They would have had three full Megazords.
Like, you know, so they've been able to do pretty much the same combinations, just substituting in Toba Spino for Gabutira. And, like, to me, that would have just been so cool, and it made kind of a little bit of sense in a way, and then like, nope, you gotta go be red. Like, oh,
and when that white mini tier showed up, I'm like, oh my god, are they gonna do a white Kiryu Navy carnival like thing? But I'm like, I don't think we ever saw a suit for that. And then it's like, oh no, you haven't seen it because you haven't realized you're really Daigo. You just have a bowl haircut now. Like, that would have been cool. I would have loved to have seen that. I want a white Minitira now. He's like an albino Minitira. He's so rare.
A lot of things in this movie would have been cool and just weren't. And,
yeah.
Like, everything that you guys point out is, like, it's just true. Like, at deep down, it was a fun movie, but it could have been so much that it isn't really enjoyable fully from any angle. Because when you're looking at, like, Go Busters versus Go Busters, it kind of went, like, balls to the wall nuts.
It was supposed to be funny.
And it did that so well that it was a fantastic V-cinema. This one kind of felt like it didn't know what it was trying to be. Was it trying to be goofy? Was it trying to be fitting in with the show? It didn't really know what it was doing, and I think it just kind of failed at everything.
The thing is, I don't think anything can follow Go Busters versus Go Busters.
It really can't. That was just
fake. They teamed up with themselves. They said, suck it, world, and did it.
it's just so good that this was not that.
Well, because the concept was so good. Like Brandon said, there's so many good concepts I was looking forward to seeing. And like the thing that bothered me most was honestly them turning into themselves, because that whole message bothered me, that they're just essentially taking on their great-grandparents' identities instead of becoming their own people. And like I said, I liked how Kiryu's universe worked, and I thought them being different suits fit that. Yeah. It's kind of funny that Soji's still alive, and him summoning Feather Edge is an old man. I thought that was kind of funny.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, as little characterization as there was throughout this entire thing, I think Upi is fabulous.
Yeah. if I had to give, a positive towards the movie, and this is a positive towards, Utsumi Maru in the show, the guy who plays them, he's really into his character. He always seems like he's really into the roles he's playing, no matter how stupid they are. he looks like he's having a lot of fun. And that's why I felt so disappointed, because every time Upi would show up, I would see how much fun the actors seem to be having playing this character, and I would just think, why can't the rest of the movie kind of, kick it up to that level? Why can't we all just be having this much fun?
Why can't we all just get along, movie?
Because, I mean, some of the other characters were funny. I think Nosan's character could have been a lot funnier if we saw any more than him than, the few scenes he was in. But then you had stuff like, Amy's character was Amy.
Short hair.
Yeah.
It was literally the same name.
Yeah. And like Dossum said, Daigo's character was just like a wimpy Daigo with a bowl cut. Like, that's a lot of them didn't really change. I don't even think Soji's, I don't even know the character's name. I don't even think he had personality, an established personality. It was just Soji with different, differently parted hair. It was just kind of, really disappointing.
It reminded me of the Go Riders just suddenly playing guitar in the Hurricane movie. I think I'm the only one that watched that. I'll back away.
the guitar was port.
But yeah, it was just such a disappointment. And I get why they sort of had the past time travel element of teaming up with the past people. I'm not so sure it was necessary. I think it would have been cooler to see if they had kept the different suits and then sort of had a sort of team up with the old creatures. I don't know why it had to be. Why did it, when he traveled to, oh, I guess, he was trying to stop the destruction of Deimos. I was trying to think why it had to be before Deimos' destruction. If the movie had gone the way I wanted to, and they had to travel to the past or to team up with the old Kyoriders, I would have had it take place post-series. I'm like, I don't think anybody of the Core Six died. But
I didn't really like him just sort of traveling through time, because he goes into the past. He meets the others, who just kind of immediately know who he is, and then they transform and beat up the bad guy for a little bit, and then it's just like, okay, bye, you gotta go back to the future now. It's like the whole thing lasted 5 minutes, and it really just felt like a way to pad out the movie. It's just
why did they know who he was?
Because he could hear the grandson scream through the time warp or something.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
Daigo can hear through time.
Yeah, that's how awesome Daigo is. Daigo, I can hear through time. Take that, Daigo haters.
But yeah,
Wise fans.
And there were a lot of little moments like that where it's just like, this feels like they're padding out the movie. It feels like they're just sort of buying time until they can reach the hour-long point. And it was disappointing. Like, they used that memory, that special memory that said all of their names, twice. And they played through the whole thing twice.
And how dumb was his plan? Like, he was in a future where everyone forgot about the Kyuugers, and he was facing a team of inexperienced Kyuugers that weren't even sure of their real suit. And he could have just easily taken over. But no, I'm going to travel to the past for the veteran Kyuugers, and there's like 10 of them. That's a good plan. Let's do that. Seem dumb. Yep. Killed the room. Room killer.
It just... It felt like they had a neat idea, but didn't really want to write anything about it, you know? They just like, oh, well, let's place it 100 years in the future, sort of doing a little spoof off of the whole Hurricane thing, and then, but, you know, we'll do it with their descendants instead, and it'll be fun. We'll switch up the colors and everything. Yeah, it'll be fun, right? Okay, well, I don't really want to write this, so just, like, send them into the past or something and replay a lot of the same memory sounds. Not memories.
Batteries.
You've said memories multiple times while talking. Right.
Did I?
Yeah. You said it earlier. Too.
I don't care.
I like how everyone's really respectful of him, and when I would, like, call... something memories or call metals or switches metals, everyone would be like, no, like as soon as I did it.
Speaking of calling you out, did you ever put that annotation in for the silver spear?
I did, like over 24 hours later.
Okay, because I watched and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was
going
to text message you, but it was like 2:45 in the morning and I thought you'd freak out about AmiAmi or something.
Yeah, that's probably what I would think. That's my first thought. But yeah, I put it up later. I don't remember if that was the review where someone said I cussed, which I don't think I did. I don't know what they're talking about, unless they consider the word crap cussing. But I noticed that, like, over 24 hours later, I'm like, oh, shit. Because I always think when I'm recording, yeah, I'm going to be at the computer when this is uploading. When in reality, after I type the description up and, like, get my image in there and all the tags, I leave or I go watch TV or something. I don't know why I always think that. Stupid pass me. Pass me's the worst.
But yeah, as for the movie,
that was Pikachu's summer vacation in the middle of the movie about my review.
It's sort of like it goes hand in hand with the two episodes for Superhero Time that we had this week.
Yeah.
It's not bad enough to where I can sit here and rant for a long time about it. But at the same time, it just kind of sucks, and I don't want to watch it again or talk about it or do anything, and I hate everything.
For me, it's like my whole critique of it is like, I'm a parent. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Like, because I don't outright despise it, but I'm like extremely disappointed. So I'm like mom for mad.
And it's even worse because for most Toku movies, we kind of don't care, but for the V cinemas, they tend to be fairly good. I mean, yeah. even outside of the GoBusters one, I like the Shinkenger one. I've liked the ones that I've seen, but this one, and I was looking forward to this one. I really was. I was excited for it, and it fell flat.
Even the Ghost Seager one, as much as I didn't really care for Ghost Seager, wasn't really that bad. So V-Cinema's got a really good track record, and then this one, I mean, like you said, it wasn't bad enough to fully rant about, but there was so much that it could have been that it leaves you with a really disappointed taste in your mouth.
Could have been so much more. And you know what's funny? They had that little ending thing where they thank you for watching. And I was thinking how it meant so much more last year with GoBusters because I felt like we were the only ones that supported them. So, like, I felt like they were talking to us. I'm like, yeah, everyone liked Kyuugers. Like, at least the majority did. But with GoBusters, it was like, we were there for you, man. Come on, hug it out. Let's come in. Bring it in, guys. So it's like you're almost, like, tearing up, like, you're welcome. And this year it was like, oh, well, I guess I'll watch Zio. Stronger than before and all that.
I mean, it's so bad that it put Kevin to sleep.
Yeah, well, you stupid
Brian, stop talking to your imaginary friend.
It's Mimi. She's not imaginary.
No, Mimi doesn't exist, Brian.
I don't know why. Stop freaking out.
Do you see David Wallace in the room? Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't know why, but I'm on David Wallace kick today.
We've Joe made Bennett a lot of Office references this episode.
That's my life. it's all I have. All right, so I guess now, anything else left to say before we move on?
Nope.
No. Right, so,
nope. I guess it's time for...
Ramble time.
I don't know what that was. That was like a weird imaginary monster thing. I'm sorry. Anyway. Anyway. What about Pokemon?
Well, the new, well, Korokoro leaked, obviously, and then Pokemon, like, a day later was like, here's all the crap that just got spoiled. We got Mega Metagross.
Oh, yeah. It's going. Who's
pretty cool. He decided to embrace his inner Beldum and become elongated again. But he's kind of neat. They showed off a bunch of, like, dressed up Pikachus that are really weird. But the wrestler one is kind of awesome. But I don't get it, like, at all. I don't fully... I get it's for contests, I think, but why does Pikachu always have to be the center of some sort of gimmick that doesn't happen to any other Pokemon?
Pikachu's stealing all the focus. He's the Daigo of Pokemon.
Pikachu is Daigo. But it's, like, I like some, like I said, I really like Wrestler Pikachu, he's pretty cool, and whatever the one that kind of looks like a warlord is, he's supposed to be a rock star? That's not, he looks like it's some sort of feudal warlord, but anyway, he's kind of cool, but the concept in general is really stupid, so unless I can dress up my other Pokemon like this, fuck off. But outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot else. Secret bases are back, obviously.
There's a slide.
I love the slides.
I'm just going to quit Pokemon training to live in my secret base and do slides.
Sounds about right.
And then I'll still beat Kevin, because I'll get bored of that and then just go lap him.
But the cool thing about the secret base is that apparently you can set up, it'll store your party information, and so you can set up like a gym inside your secret base, which cool. I think is kind of cool. And as far as I'm aware, secret bases are going to work off of Spot Pass, so kind of like anyone, from what I gather, anyone on your friends list and stuff, you'll be able to see their secret base. And anyone that you street pass with, you'll be able to...
I want to be able to take photos with my Pokemon again. That's completely random, but I hate how they add new features and then take them away. Well, like, I liked that because it was like, I love being able to see a history of how my team evolved.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it pissed me off in X and Y because they're like, here's a camera feature. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Too bad you're by yourself. well, fuck you. I want to take a picture with my Pokemon, asshole. But then they're like, oh, you get it, scaling and shit. Fuck you, just let me take a picture, god damn it.
Stop with all the big words.
Aperture, leading.
Balance. What was this week's episode about?
Stuff.
Oh yeah, I was stuff like, occurred. What?
Whoa, crap it. I flipped the 3D on my 3DS on accident, because I was sitting here playing with the Switch, and I looked over at the Wonder Trade, and it was in 3D, and it just totally fucked me up.
New catchphrase, whoa, crap it.
It was about, oh, Slurpuff, and they had they were like at a bake-off or something, Serena wanted to bake.
I think I, like, barely paid attention to that.
And there was this random chick, and apparently random chick has the hots for Ash, and she's like, Serena, if you don't tell Ash how you feel, I'll tell him.
She talked like a weird, deranged grandmother who's gonna, like, eat you later.
She sounds like she's, like, a villain with a twirly mustache who's gonna tie Serena to the train tracks.
Oh, God. But it was pretty dumb.
That was that episode in a nutshell.
It did make me think about how... I love how, you know, we had contest girls for 2 years, and then Iris was Dragon Master, and then Serena, they just dropped all pretenses and haven't given her a storyline.
Like, Serena's kind of like the catch-all of the day, because whatever the episode's about, it involves something with her. Like, this one was like a cook-off, because she made a Poke Puff, or whatever the fuck they called it. And he's like, oh, my Poke Puff's awesome, and then... The other chick was like, "My Poke Puffs are the best." And
evil Gilmon.
And so now all of a sudden she's like wanted to be like a master Poke Puff maker because her honor was tarnished by the mustached woman.
Like, it's so dumb. Like, she needs to focus. Like, that's what I liked about it to May and then even Dawn. As annoying as she could be, at least she had a story going. And I hated Iris. And I don't hate Serena, I just think she needs something to do. Like, she only has one Pokemon. How long has this anime been running and she only has one Pokemon? How is that possible?
I don't even know. Like,
like, they're moving at a slow pace as it is. In Japan, Ash just got a Hachala, which I think is a interesting choice. I did not expect that at all.
I watched a gif of when he caught it and he, like, they bro fisted with the Pokeball. It was awesome.
It's pretty badass. But like, I think it'll be interesting. Like I said, I didn't expect that choice, but one thing I miss about X and Black and White was Ash catching so many Pokemon, and they didn't all have time to sort of have personalities, like a couple, like Palpitoad and what's his name, Rockman, Chromastone. No. Damn it. What's his name? I literally thought I got that right. Bulldor.
And,
Rock
and Rolla.
Yeah. But, like, still, I liked that idea. But it was another one of those ideas that they took way too long to think of. Like, it took them forever to realize they could deposit Pokemon at Professor Oak's. And I loved Ash rotating Pokemon. And I thought that kept things really fresh. And it sort of mimicked my journey with Gen 5, because there's so many Pokemon I wanted to use that I rotated a lot. But I liked that, and at this one, we're kind of back to the snail's pace, and I don't necessarily think we need to do things the same every year, but I like that, catching Pokemon faster and mixing it up a little bit, because it seemed really slow this year. Especially when you have a character that's only got one Pokemon, and then Ash is going pretty slow, and that was one thing I thought Black and White did well. And then they had Creepy Levani there, ready to murder you in your sleep. Levani! And I was just sitting there, like, under the covers, shivering. God, like, just me doing that just now scared me a little bit. But, yeah, I think they need to catch some more Pokemon.
Yeah, it like, even in Japan, outside of getting Hawlucha, Ash doesn't have anything else. And as far as I know, Clement hasn't got anything, and I know Serena hasn't got anything.
No. And not so even
it's Team just Rock. Really silly. The cast of Pokemon in this season is really low, and I don't get why. I mean, right now it's just this constant like thing of like Pikachu, Fennekin, and Dedenne in every episode.
Yeah, and like, you know, I know there's less Pokemon in Gen 6, but they could still have enough for everybody, and you know, they could maybe have Clement and Serena catch some Gen 3 Pokemon to pimp out the Gen 3 games. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, every damn region Pokemon exists in Kalos. The Kalos region Pokemon are the rare ones. I spent more time trying to find the one Kalos Pokemon on each route than I did catching a bunch of random other Pokemon. But yeah, they need to speed it up a little bit. And the thing about having so many Pokemon to catch the last series was that it gave you more event episodes. Because Pokemon is, like, all this awful filler. But then, like, the bright spots are always a gym battle or when someone catches a Pokemon. And Black and White got a few more bright spots because there were so many Pokemon to catch. So, I hope they improve. Because I really enjoyed the first few episodes, and now it's kind of gotten boring again.
Yeah. It's a shame, because I want to be interested in the show, because it's so near and dear to me, but it's so boring.
I know. It's like they can't do things right all at once. Like, I want this to mix Gen 3's balance of having the girl storyline and Ash's storyline, and Ash actually being a competent trainer with Gen 5's more catching Pokemon and rotating. But they can't do all the good things at once. They have to do one thing at a time. Like, we kind of got competent Ash back, but now the fillers are just as boring as they were with Black and White.
I was going to go back and watch Hoenn.
They need to get those on Netflix. Yeah. I will, like, just drop Zeo on the floor and go to Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't think any of the advanced... I don't even think Advanced Battle is. I think just Battle Frontier was the only one that...
Advanced Battle! I loved all the themes.
Advanced had really good themes. I realized that when I was listening to them the other day.
To Battle Frontier. Anyway, yep. So the only other thing besides Falling Skies, which will be later, is Korra.
Yay!
Korra, 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 the Explorer!
No!
Korra!
No! I really enjoyed this week's episode.
Yeah. These were great.
I think Aerosol kind of described it perfectly. They're really fun. Quick tweet. When you said it a while ago, when you tweeted about it, I was like, I agree. That was
fun on episodes. Friday. Well, Friday.
I can. I ate eggs.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
There was... Oh, shit.
Careful, Aerosol. Don't drop your whatever. Couldn't think of something funny.
These were great. I guess to start with the first episode, we got a little bit more information on I was just thinking about this earlier and now I've forgotten the guy's name.
Evil Airbender.
The new Evil Airbender.
I don't know his name either. It takes me a while, I'm slow.
We'll call him Xanadu for the moment. It's something like that. So Zaheer. Apparently... Huh?
So Zaheer.
Zaheer.
Zaheer. There we go.
Like, damn it, I know it.
Apparently, Zaheer's group isn't just like this ragtag group of criminals that kind of all knew each other, that are just now like, hey, let's go kill the Avatar. Apparently they, like... That was something they originally did way back when Korra was a little girl, which I thought was kind of neat because we, from the very beginning of Legend of Korra, we've seen that Korra is kind of the only avatar ever to be that sheltered. Like, all the previous avatars had these grand adventures and were allowed to sort of run free and, you know, go and train with their masters and their different locations and see the world, whereas Korra was sort of, you know, kept at home and kept under a watchful eye. And this kind of alludes to the idea that maybe that's because of, you know, Zaheer's group having attempted to kidnap her, which I thought was really cool.
I thought it was interesting too, because I think in the last discussion we talked about how we thought that they originally had a beef with Aang, so it's just naturally they now had a beef with a new avatar. That we assumed that they were there because of Aang. It was interesting to know that it was because of Korra.
We also got mention of who captured them, which was the group of Tenzin, Zuko, Korra's dad, and Sokka.
Sokka.
Which, this is our first mention of Sokka in like
Chris
two
Hardwick.
Seasons. And I love Sokka, so I was kind of amused by that.
Or is he dead? I don't
know. I thought
remember.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Oh.
I love Sokka. He's dead.
Well,
just in two sentences.
Katara mentioned in the very first episode that he and Aang were both dead. And it was kind of assumed that Toph was until
but she's not.
The next episode.
Tong doesn't care that Tong? Damn. Toph doesn't care that she's old. She's still kicking ass.
Yeah.
I also, randomly, this is not an intelligent plan, but I love how when you were describing how them possibly being a ragtag group that decided to kill the Avatar, it was like they were in a stoner comedy, like going to White Castle, but they decided to kill the Avatar. The gang of benders kill the Avatar. And then go to Guantanamo Bay.
Oh.
But I thought it was funny.
Yep.
I lost track of what I was going to say.
Sorry, that's been stewing in my mind the whole time. I'm like, White Castle reference, White Castle reference.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that, and that part of the episode kind of gave us a really good sort of showing of their powers compared to these, this, you know, group of characters who have been fairly powerful. I mean, Zuko, it's Zuko. He was the Fire Lord. So it kind of puts them on this tier, like, okay, yeah,
they're pretty strong. Did you guys die?
Yes.
Wait, Aerosol?
Died? I died. Yeah.
Oh, okay, because you're like, it was such an odd place to stop. You're like, yeah, they're. And then I'm like, they're what? I got to know.
What? Where did I leave off?
You said we were talking about how the two groups are fighting each other, and you said, and yeah, they're. And then you ended it there.
You know, they're going up against Zuko, who is, you know, Zuko, and. So it kind of puts them on this sort of top tier, you know, they
top tier benders.
It makes them somewhat more impressive, I guess. It's a nice first showing.
It was cool to see Zuko fight again, though. I mean, it's not like the same as we're used to, but it was just kind of neat to show that he can still fight.
Yeah. And also, this is more in the second episode, but it's still on the topic of Zaheer. He apparently has a really large knowledge of the airbending culture.
Yeah.
It was actually interesting to see how much he actually respects it.
Yeah, he kind of had, when he was in his prison cell, he talked about it a bit too, and I keep getting this vibe almost as like he knew he was going to get airbending. It's weird. Like, he's so good at it. Like, even though he studied it, he's so good at it for just getting it. Like, It feels like he knew. Probably didn't, but it just, the vibe I get from him is that he knew it was going to happen.
It's understandable that if someone was, you know, that obsessed with airbending culture, that they may have sort of studied some of the movements and stuff from past airbenders, and maybe that's why he's a little more adept at it than the others who kind of get the powers and it's just like, I can punch air now.
Yeah. But yeah, it really is interesting, and I mentioned how it's interesting before to have an airbending villain, and especially with airbending, because, you know, in the first series we had the One, and he was the one airbender, and he was the hero, and then this one, that's just his family, and they were also good people, so it's, you never associate that element with villains. All the other ones have had bad people, the Dai Li, Fire Lord, all the villains from Korra, waterbenders.
Not to mention that because Aang was, you know, our main character in The Last Airbender, and because Tenzin is such a big part of Korra, whenever they mention the airbending culture, it's always in a very positive light, and always in a very, they've always been described as pacifists. They're, you know, just generally good people. So we've never gotten even a mention of airbenders who could have been evil, but yeah, it's really cool.
It is. And he had a really cool fight with Aang's daughter, whose name I'm blanking on.
Kaya,
there we go. I knew it was a K. But they had a really cool, it wasn't like a huge blowout, but it had some really cool choreography to it. And I think that was like her first real fight that I can think of.
Yeah, it was.
We haven't seen her do much bending outside of like healing or any random little tricks. So that was cool, and they freed the airbenders from the Earth Queen who had them because she's a bee, and that was really cool. And it was a really nice moment for Tenzin when all the people decided they wanted to go with him.
Yeah,
I thought it was really nice because we kind of saw before that he might have to change his way of thinking because so many people have their own lives. But it's cool that there's actually a bunch of people that wanna go back to it, so they're going to be at least be able to revive it in some form. And I thought it was just a really nice moment for Tenzin because he deserved it.
Because
Tenzin's a good guy.
I thought it was a nice episode for Kai as well, who unfortunately has a name way too similar to Kaya. But we kind of got to see a little bit more of, I guess, his good side, his passion towards others, how he was sort of helping people out while they were being trained by the Earthbenders. So that was kind of nice, kind of to see a more positive side of him instead of this sort of sneaky little pickpocket that we've been seeing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I love the Bolin thing.
Oh, him wanting to be a little brother or a big brother?
Yeah, how he just loves being an older brother because it's just not something he gets to be. And I just love how involved he is with Kai.
And then when he kisses Jinora, and he's like, we can't tell my dad about this. He's like, I got to. I love the gossip. Or whatever he said, something like that. It was great. Like, it was just a matter of fact. He's like, I got to tell this. Bolin. What else went down in that episode? It was mainly getting the airbenders.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. I just like in general that Korra was, you know, the type of avatar that just decided to do it. But I like that that situation sort of represented, at least for me, the conversation that Korra and Tenzin had in the beginning episodes about how she's making these big decisions and so many people are upset. But then Tenzin said, but there's also people that aren't, like me. And I thought this was a good example of it because she pissed off the Earth Kingdom by breaking into their prison and stealing their prisoners, which they kept talking about how it was their right to take them. But, you know, she made Tenzin happy, and she made all the prisoners happy. So I just thought that was kind of a good little event that sort of represented that conversation.
I was actually reading a review of the episode, and they brought up that very thing, how so far the season has done a good job at kind of showcasing neither a right or a wrong. It's just, you know, you're going to anger these people, but you're going to also do this good thing for these other people. Because like you said, she could have very well started a war with the Earth Kingdom. But at the same time, she freed these people who are going to go on to establish this new culture. So they do a good job so far, and I hope to see it kind of continue where it's this sort of balance of good and bad. You know, she's on the wrong side of some, but on the good side of others.
Yeah. And, you know, with the Earth King situation, though, like, it was kind of an interesting point that they had the right to detain their citizens. But you have a hard time seeing their perspective, mainly because of how violently they're treating the airbenders, but with your if you watch the previous series, like, your bad experience with the Dai Li. So it's not as exactly as if you can really see their point, because you just kind of automatically think, okay, they are the bad guys. So I think that's kind of funny. But there wasn't much else I can think of from that episode particular. Yeah. Next episode...
I actually really like this episode quite a bit.
I love that metal city. I forget the name of it, but it's like seriously one of the prettiest cities they've done since Republic City. It's so awesome. And it's kind of like a glimpse into what even farther in the future might look like.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
I don't think we're going to be able to move our buildings with our mind.
Well, not our future. Brian's like, wait, it's important to me you understand you can't move metal, Dawson. I can do it. I like how that's the first thing Brian said in like 10 minutes. Like, oh, wait a minute.
I agree, though, with both of you. But no, I agree that the city was really, really cool. Really beautiful. And it's so weird that I didn't even think of the possibility of maybe there's a metal bending city. You know, it didn't even occur to me.
Because I mainly thought that metal bending's culture went towards those police in Republic City with their whips and whatnot.
And it kind of just, it always seemed like something that was so rare that only the few that had it would most likely go on to be policemen. So,
yeah.
But we got to meet Lynn's sister, half-sister.
Toph was a slut. She was a blind slut.
I kind of understand why Toph would have raised them alone, just given her character, how she was in the original series. Like, she was a very independent kind of person, so it would make sense that she really wouldn't rely on anybody to raise their kids.
Where's this Maury episode? Who's the baby daddy? Like, I like that they made that choice, though. Like, I haven't read as much this week, but so many people were mad when they found out that Aang wasn't a perfect parent. And I feel like this is even a more so thing, because it's like, she didn't have a family that was perfect. She had these two different relationships, and she wasn't imperfect. And I like that they sort of had the characters in the original series sort of realistically grow up as parents.
Yeah. And the flaws that you see in these relationships make sense. It makes sense why Aang, I don't want to say he failed as a parent, because he didn't.
No.
He just had, issues. Both of them, both Toph and Aang, they just had issues with their relationships with their kids. And you can understand why Aang would favor Tenzin just a little bit more. You know, he's the only other airbender in existence. Of course, he's, you know, kind of going to be, he's going to gravitate towards his youngest son a little bit more and kind of focus on teaching him his, you know, his culture. And with Toph, they even explain it flat out in the episode. You can understand why she would kind of have a very hands-off approach with parenting. She had such a strict household that we saw plenty of in the first series.
Yeah, because it's not as if it's something new that we learn about that we've never heard of. It all ties back to something from the original series that was part of their personality.
And it makes sense. It makes sense that she would have that kind of flaw. I love the imperfections. My favorite parts from the second season are still the family dynamics, the whole conflicts between the three siblings. Yeah. And the same goes for this episode. I love the sort of conflict between these two siblings and this rift that's kind of been caused in their family. And it's, you know, it's kind of a similar situation where it's, you know, siblings kind of arguing, but at the same time, it's obviously for different reasons, and it's a very different situation.
Yeah, I want to know exactly why Lynn's being such a bee about it. Like, she's like, there has to be some reason she's being so adamant about. Like, when her daughter came up to her, I think it'll be really nice to get to know you. Fuck you! Get out of my house!
Get out of my ship.
Get out of my ship.
And I actually do enjoy the fact that they didn't know their father. And that was sort of, you know, something they had to deal with. That's not really something a lot of cartoons are willing to bring up, is the idea that the kids are sort of basically the result of maybe a one-night stand had at some point. Like, they're bastards. They're bastard children is essentially what's going on here.
They're bastards. They're all bastards.
And that's sort of a really not nice way of putting it, but it's a very real kind of situation that not a lot of cartoons tackle. And I love that this show is actually being very upfront about it. They have two different dads. Neither one of them know who they are. That's just the situation. It's not a matter of, they lost their dads early on or they're dead or something. No, they just never knew. It's just never came up.
I still want the more episodes. I don't understand why so many people that like watch the show and stuff have this like necessity for everyone to be perfect. I mean, that's not how the world works. I don't get the complaint.
I don't either. It's like, especially since how young they were. And we just mentioned all these sort of things that developed sort of stem out of, you know, the what their characters went through and their personalities from the original series. So it's still a semblance of what we know. It's not as if all of a sudden you discover that they were completely different people. It's completely understandable, but it's just so funny to think people would think that Aang would be a perfect dad based on his personality when he was like 11 or whatever. It seems really funny. What else was I going to say? I'm just really happy to have Lin back, because I read somewhere that she was going to be more in the season, and then she didn't take off with them in the first episode, so I was disappointed, because she was one of my favorites from the first season, and Toph was probably my favorite from the original series, so I kind of attached her because of that, I guess. But I just really liked her, and they're definitely doing some interesting things with her now, so I'm really happy about that. And it's kind of crazy that Toph's great-granddaughter or granddaughter... Is it granddaughter? Yeah, granddaughter. Is an airbender. Just considering Toph was one of the members of the original Team Avatar that was guarding and helping the last airbender. And now her granddaughter's an airbender. I just think that's really cool.
Yeah, it is really neat. It didn't occur to me till a good chunk of the way through the episode that that actually would have meant that the daughter was a non-bender, which means that she would have been like the only one of all of Toph's offspring, like children and grandchildren, that couldn't bend at all, which must have been kind of lonely. I mean, we didn't really find out much about
Opal.
Yeah. About her at all, outside of she kind of digs Bolin.
I'm Date Bolin. Nice to meet me. Sorry. Like, that reminded me of it so much. Like, he did so well with her, just like Michael did with that girl, until he was told about it. And then he started, like, date miking it up, and I thought it was great.
I loved it both before and after he knew, because he's so oblivious. He's so oblivious to everything, and just... You kind of see that sort of childlike wonder in Bolin's face. And then, of course, he finds out, and it's like, okay, time to turn on the charm.
Oh, Bolin's the best. Oh, he's just the absolute best. Varric's back. He made his grand return.
I was not expecting that.
Neither was I. He just, like, opens the door like, hey... Where's Julie? That's what I'm wondering.
She was there.
The platypus bear.
Julie was there.
Was she?
Yeah, she was there in the background.
Oh.
She didn't say anything, and he didn't really address her, but yeah, you could see her standing behind him.
But still, I'm glad to see him back. he was really entertaining last season, and after he escaped, I was hoping he'd be back. I honestly didn't expect to see him this soon. It was a great little surprise.
You just kind of randomly see him in the Metal City for some reason. But it's cool, like, what he's working on is essentially just, like, a bullet train. which, is neat. It's sort of another advancement in this world's sort of technology, which is super uneven, and I kind of love it.
Like, that's one of the things that fascinates me in particular about Korra, is that seeing this world slowly advance because of how sort of crazy it is with its bending, and then like how this more ancient, old-timey feel the original series had, and seeing it sort of catch up in a way to our technology, but then with that bending, and then now even more so with the spirit world, it's just so fascinating to me. Damn, Brian, with the Morse code again. Honestly, stop spreading lies. What else? I love the part where her son was making that sculpture, And Bowen's like, oh, it's a banana. And he's like, no, it's obviously whatever the hell he said. And he's like, it's totally a banana, right? I'm trying to think of any other moments I liked.
I wish I could remember all of them, but there were a lot of funny moments in both of these episodes. Just so many little moments that are almost too many to kind of remember, which is unfortunate.
Kind of like Mikey's lines in Turtles. But yeah, that was definitely my favorite of the two episodes. It brought up a lot of really like fascinating things, and also was really entertaining at the same time.
I'm really looking forward to this week and getting the second half, or however long this little arc is going to go on, because that stuff, I love the personal conflict stuff. I just do. We are moving through this season really quickly. Like, we're already almost at the halfway point.
I know. It's because of stupid 2 episodes a week thing, because I want to get it done. I love how the previews are like, you can't see this anywhere else. Not even online.
Yeah.
Like, it's so obvious. Like, it's not even subtle about it. It's funny. Click, click, click. Click, click. Click, click, click. Click. Brian's been giving his thoughts through Morse code through this whole episode. Didn't even know it.
You don't even know it.
They're very lewd.
Yeah. I love me some Cora.
Lewd is how I live my life.
That should be a t-shirt.
So that pretty much does it.
So, other Brian and Dawson butt in with our Falling Skies discussion.
Jerks.
These guys are the worst.
No, you guys are jerks. No, Brian. Damn it. I was trying to insult us and you interrupted me.
My bad.
Anyway, we're the worst. So, Falling Skies. The skies fell on Jeannie. She ugly now.
Bitch be ugly.
So I was right about that. It seemed pretty obvious. It was even more obvious at the beginning of the episode when they showed flashbacks of him promising that she wouldn't get caught.
Yeah.
Like, I get flashbacks try to, you know, catch you up, but I hate when they tell you stuff that's, like that, that's going to be key to the episode, because then you don't have that aha moment, and it bothers me.
Yeah.
But.
It's kind of like in Toku when they like to give away the entire episode in the preview.
Yeah. But she was really freaky looking. Like, we mainly saw her like in the shadows and like CG jumping, but then when she was dying, like the close up makeup, she looked really creepy.
Yeah, I was uneasy. Like I said, bitch.
One, it's like real static. What? It's like, I thought I was on a delay. You sounded real staticky for a second.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, she was really, really creepy. But this sounds bad, but it was a good character to kill off, because it was somebody you know of and you don't necessarily care about enough to be upset, but it's like a character you cares about, if that makes any sense.
No, I get you. Like, It's a character that you physically don't really have any sort of attachment to, but it's a character that someone you are
attached to.
It very much attached to, cares about them to where it impacts their storyline, so you're invested in it, but you don't emotionally care.
Yeah. It's like, and it brings sort of more emotional impact, at least if you know of who it was, instead of it just being some random person turned into a human skitter.
Yeah, because they did so that creepy a couple times in, like, the first season with random, like, kids.
Yeah.
Or the people in the second mass.
A little black kid. He looked like an evil younger Scott from RPM.
He kind of did.
Like, God, I hated him. Let's not get back into that. I'm just getting riled up just thinking about it. but, yeah, so that was the thing that was disturbing. And they broke Matt out of his concentration camp, which everything's moving pretty quickly. Like, I didn't expect Matt's story to be wrapped up that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to go back at some point to do things, but...
I'm willing to bet that his little girlfriend will either, A, come back as a Skitter hybrid, or B, be turned and then rat them out. Because she said she'll come find him when she graduates, and I'm willing to bet one of those two things will happen.
Oh, absolutely. She's not going to come out of there, like, normal.
Yeah, she'll either be brainwashed or she'll be, like, skitter-washed. I don't know what word you use for that, but, yeah, something's going to happen to her. But, like, at the beginning of the season, I thought that... I knew they would all rejoin, but I thought that his storyline was going to be more about his revolt, and I didn't expect his friend to get taken away, and then he got caught, and I just didn't expect it to unfold like that.
Yeah, they're all kind of convening at Lexi's...
New Lexi Town.
They're all kind of convening there right now, so...
And, oh, crap, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, it was pretty satisfying to see, what's his name? Tom beat the shit out of that brainwashed kid. Like, that's just what everyone wants to do. You know, he's got one of those faces where he just looks like an asshole.
He looks like someone from a boy band, so yeah, he's like an asshole.
An asshole boy band. But yeah, so that was pretty satisfying. But over at New Lexi Town, you know, Anne was getting used to her daughter being very volatile and forcey.
And blonde.
Yeah, white blonde. And they sort of confronted that as Fenny. And he was sort of shooting off that spiel about, like, wanting to live in harmony. But I forgot, because Ben's, you know, jumped up and screamed that he's lying. I forgot that they can, when they take over somebody like that, they can feel, like, what if they're lying or not, or what their state of mind was. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that wasn't a fully thought out plan on his part.
Yeah. But so definitely some shady stuff going on there. And was there anything else? This was the episode where Pope met Mrs. Pope. like she's just like, she's just like Pope, but in female form.
But it's basically just Pope with a vagina.
Exactly. So he's got a partner in crime now. And Hal kind of had to make decisions without his dad there. Because
he was pretty bad at.
Yeah, he's like, what we're gonna do is, Pope, wait, where are you going? We should leave, they're gonna bomb us. Wait, Dad didn't say anything, just, aperture. moons. Everyone, look at the moon. Like, that's the plan. But yeah, and then they eventually did decide to leave, and we met a new, like, distinguishable Volm, which was Shaq. Just kind of like this larger Volm that's kind of a jerk, and he doesn't really want to work with them, it seems.
Shaq Fu.
Yeah. He's like, so Shaq, I'll just call you Shaq. Poor Coach, he's got poisoned by Skater Genie. Coach is the best.
This comes back later. I'm okay now.
I can just heal. I'm a Namekian, whatever. Let's see. Oh, one of the most interesting thing actually about the episode was the last couple minutes where we saw the two Esfeni talking inside of a tiny psychic ember. Like, what the hell? Like,
I was really confused because I'm sitting there watching and then I'm like, that's the one that he burned, right?
Yeah, like he put it in his hand and cooled it up and then it looked like it zoomed into Volcano World.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden they were talking.
I'm like, this is like some crazy anime shit.
Yeah, like, for a second, when he closed it up and it zoomed in that volcano planety area, I'm like, oh my god, this is some Men in Black shit. There's gonna be tiny people in there that have been controlling them the whole time. Who says that someone's been inside me, working me with controls? But it was just a really weird way of communication that they both had these sort of embers and utilized it to talk. It just seemed weird. Must save a fortune on cell phone bills.
Oh, yeah.
But, and it was like the first time we've heard them talk in English without a Skitter kid.
Yeah, I guess they realized they kind of had to.
But did they, I don't remember, did they ever speak alien? like,
I don't think so. I think they just made like screechy noises.
Yeah, because like they're always pretty calm. I mean, the skitters made their little skitter noises, and they could be translated sometimes, like with the rebel skitters and stuff. But I don't recall the Ishveni ever trying to talk. So, but that was just, it's very weird to see them talk like that, because we're so used to seeing them from the perspective of the humans in which they run into them. And we're not used to seeing them like exist on their own. So it seemed very weird. And we got, camp internment camp Ishveni, who's mad at Tom. And then you got Jedi Ishveni, who's trying to steal Lexi. Yeah, he's got that rope going on. So yeah, it's definitely a really interesting season, and they usually do move at a pretty good pace. So I don't know why I'm always surprised, but I always do like the pace they move at.
It's kind of like a little bit of a game pace where something's always happening.
Yeah, and they never really stay with one thing for too long. Even last year when they were in that city and stuff. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. What will Lexi roll up next? She's being heavily manipulated. Keep forgetting she's not even 1 year old. She's like the dawn of falling skies. But yeah, I think that's about it for falling skies.
But anyway, it's time for whatever Kevin does, but he's asleep. And we use an MP3 instead.
That's a really long way of saying final thing. Use MP3.
Final thingies.
Okay. Actual final thingies here. Instead of Captain Contest, we're going to be doing a special little Facebook question of the week event, I guess you could call it. Semi-inspired by someone asking all of us our favorite Rangers of each color on Ask.fm. But each week I'm going to post up what is your favorite Ranger of a certain color. Not skin, but suit. and so, like, you know, it'll be like red, pink, blue, like all that all down the line. And you'll have a week to answer, and then we will read the best ones on air. Give a reason why, but try not to be too lengthy. I don't want this to turn into a leave three paragraphs because fucked awesome. Because it makes for a more interesting discussion if you tell why, but you don't need to give us your life story. So yeah. And I'm just going to leave it restricted to Power Rangers for this one, to save the possibility of doing it for Sentai Rangers later. And I'm
suck
on a Power Rangers
Sentai fans.
Yeah, but and Fize fans, you're not a part of this either. But
that one Fize fan that we have is just like, yeah. Oh,
who's already depressed from watching Fize. But yeah, you could probably save the Sentai ones for another event, maybe. And also, like I said, I'm on a Power Rangers kick, so go Power Rangers.
Do we want to announce the other thing?
Oh, yeah, Brian. Does something remind you of gold?
I do like the color gold.
Should we do it in these voices?
Speaking of, we are very happy to announce that because of our awesome Twitter interaction with the good old... Not old.
You just called him old. How dare you? I'm going to tell him to listen to this. I'm telling him.
Dawson's sabotaging his own show.
Yep.
There was that reveal. But anyway, we will be interviewing Kerrigan Mahan, the voice of Goldar, and a couple other random monsters, and the first Magna Defender, and such like. So please send in your questions that you would like to ask him either via Twitter. We will put up a Facebook little thread thingy like we would for like a Facebook question or anything like that. And if you're listening and you don't have Twitter or don't have Facebook, A, get with the times. But B, you can also feel free to email us at writersrangersandrambles@gmail.com.
we don't really use that email for anything anymore, but I want to get as much questions as possible. So if you don't have a social media account or anything like that, please, by all means, just shoot us an email. If you don't have email, I don't understand how you're listening to this.
Because... if you don't have email, you can call us at 1-8-
Quick, give him Kevin's number.
Send us your cassette tapes.
You can send us a cassette tape with the recording of your question, courtesy of the old prospector.
Or send us a letter, available at the address of the guy that sent JDF the translucent Green Ranger coin. He posted it on Instagram, so it's there.
We will be, I don't want to say announcing this again, but reminding everyone via Twitter and Facebook in the next coming weeks. This will occur either probably next week or the weekend after that. We're still kind of ironing out the details, but I wanted to give you guys as much time as possible to get in your questions.
What about the voice thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the phrases?
We're going to do something silly, or at least...
we haven't cleared this with him yet, so if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and if we can't clear it with him, then...
we'll do it.
We'll just edit whatever I'm saying right now. but we're going to do something silly where you send us in things you want to hear Goldar say.
Or the Magna Defender. Make the Magna Defender say something really funny.
So if you've got something you've always wanted to hear Goldar or the Magna Defender or I guess any one of his other characters say, then send that in to, you know, the Twitter or the Facebook. You know,
the places Brian just said.
Yeah.
I guess the email, which we apparently have. I didn't even know that existed.
And if you're really stubborn, you can probably also tweet at us or message us and we'll convey it to each other.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to hold it. Ha ha ha, this person tried to ask this question, but I'm never telling them.
Oh, tweet them all at Kevin. He'll be super confused because he's asleep right now.
So please go ahead and send in your questions or phrase requests, and we'll get everything situated, and you can look forward to that in the coming weeks.
That'll put Marzipan in your pan, bingo. I don't think that was right.
What?
It was like a Buffy quote, but I messed it up. They put a pun generator on Buffy bot and it messed up and she said something like, put marzipan in your pan, bingo. And it was supposed to be a pun. But it messed up because she's a robot.
Buffy. You're a robot.